Mark chapter 7, I just want to start reading in verse 5. Read like 5 through 9. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." I'm going to stop right there and say, welcome to 2010. And right here, welcome to about 30 AD. And quoting Isaiah, welcome to 700 BC. Nothing's changed. Nothing is any different, except for evil men and seducers maybe waxing worse and worse. And I'm not so sure, I can't swear to it, they're waxing worse and worse, but it sure looks that way on television. There's more information out there and available more quickly than there ever has been before, and it's not good news. But welcome to the world as it was, as it is, and as it will be until he comes. These Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem were berating Jesus Christ. They were after him. They were offended and complaining about the behavior of the followers of Jesus Christ. Boy, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? Now, before we get started, I do want to say, I do believe it is a good thing to wash your hands before you eat. Okay? I'm not preaching against that. I believe it's a good thing to wash your hands before you work with food or prepare it or do anything with it. I am married to a nurse, so I know a little bit about germs and bacteria and all kinds of things. And that's not the point of this scripture. It's a good tradition. It is a good habit to have, to wash your hands. But after reading this, you get Christ's answer. And he starts off by calling them names. Sweet little Jesus, wonderful little Jesus, said, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." This was not a compliment. This was not, it was an insult. That's all it is, plain and simple. The word hypocrite means pretender, dissembler, or actor. Okay, none of those three things are any good. Especially at this time. And really still at our time now, but you know, we're not going to go into that part of it. But Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, the Lord of the Sabbath, the King of Kings, called these Pharisees and scribes fakers. "Well has Isaiah talked of you fakers." And the reason he did this is because they were religious fakers. That's what they are. That's what they were. That's what he called them. Now, it's possible they may have been sincere, but I don't think so, because Christ called them fakers. He called them actors. people can sincerely believe what they believe. But when he's calling these guys, this is the Pharisees and the scribes. These guys dealt with the law every day. They knew what was in it. And they knew this tradition of washing their hands wasn't in the law. Now the priest had to wash his hands before he went into the tabernacle. But Christ called it a tradition. And these fellows were thinking of it as a law. And Christ called them on it. They were fakers. They were not even sincere. They just wanted their rules followed, and to hell with God's rules. Forget God's commandments. Pay attention to what we're doing. Christ goes on to show that. Now, is that too harsh? No. Because then Christ said that Isaiah prophesied about you. About these men right here. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That sounds pretty bad. It is bad. They speak well of God with their lips, but it's not from their heart. That's the definition of a hypocrite. They say one thing, and they're thinking something else. They'll say one way, and maybe to somebody else, they'll say it a different. We were talking about it just before service, David. Walter, people you work with, you're surrounded by them. I mean, there were people I've worked with who were famous at our place for doing that. And everybody knew they did it. And he was still there every day. Fakers. Hypocrites. Excuse me. Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites. That was from written around somewhere around 700 BC by Isaiah. About these Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem. They speak well of God with their lips, but it's not from their hearts. They will use the name Lord, Lord, constantly. But there's nothing in their heart. Well, there's something in their heart, but we may get to that later on. Because Christ did in the speech here. They will not tell you what they really think or believe. Because they're playing church. And I hate that. Worse than anything. And I believe Christ did too. That's what he called them, hypocrites, fakers. And this was not, as some people have our Lord Jesus Christ being some always meek and mild and pitying. He said, oh, well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites. It's so sad that you honor me with, you honor God with your lips, but not with your heart. That's not what he said. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. About the same tone as that, woe unto you Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites. Woe unto you Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites. And he says it three or four times. It's not awful that these folks are misguided and mistaken. This was a condemning oratory. He's telling them where they lacked. He was comparing them to bad people in today's parlance. No, actually, Christ said they were the bad people. Actually, Christ said they were the bad people that Isaiah wrote about it 700 years ago from when he's speaking. Isaiah wrote this about you. That's spooky. These Pharisees and scribes were the false professors that God told Isaiah would come. Christ said that. Not me. Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites. These were the guys. These Pharisees who thought they were the keepers of the law. The scribes who thought they were the scholars of the law. Who thought they were the religious best that there ever was, and maybe they were. As far as religion goes. Who were thought by others to be so deeply religious, they were the one that the Lord told Isaiah were fakers 700 years before this. Christ was not happy with these men. Not a bit. These people said they spoke for God. Said they led the life others were supposed to lead. And Jesus Christ called them fakers. Their hearts were far, far, far from him. These Pharisees and scribes that Isaiah prophesied about, it's even worse than that. In verse 7, it says, howbeit in vain do they worship me. Walter, that's one of them scary statements you talk about. They worshiped God in vain. Everybody thought the Pharisees were the best there were. If anybody was going to heaven, it was a Pharisee. That's what they thought at the time. As far as ordinary people, as far as ordinary Jews, Christ told them they were fakers and they were worshiping in vain. That's one of those statements there. It's scary because I don't want it to be me. Because I know my worship is not too good at times. I know my worship is not too steady at the best of times. And my worship is never pure. I wish it was. Most of the time, I know my worship is so horribly imperfect that I do not like to utter the words, I worship God. I want to worship God. I want to worship Christ. I want to worship the Holy Spirit. I wish to. But what I don't want is to worship in vain. And that's what Christ told these people they were doing. That's incredibly scary to me. God manifest in the flesh told these men personally to their face that they were worshiping in vain. through the words of Isaiah written 700 years before that. Like I said, this was not a happy speech. It's not what you would call an uplifting sermon. This was a condemnation pronounced by the Creator of the universe upon some men who were standing right there looking at him and didn't know who was talking to him. Christ continues this diatribe against those whom Isaiah prophesied, saying, not only do they worship in vain, they teach. Now, if your worshiping is in vain, your teaching ain't going to be too good. And that's what he says. Because unfortunately, most people are not very good at teaching. And these people here, according to Christ, weren't any better at teaching than they were at worshiping. Because if their worshiping is vain, their teaching is going to be vain. Or in this case, their teaching is just plain wrong. They teach the commandments of men as though they were the commandments of God. That's wrong. That's bad, and that's vain. The reason for this is that the commandments of men are usually in direct opposite of the commandments of God. The traditions of men are at odds with the commandments of God. Paul wrote of these. He wrote of those who have swerved, turned, having turned aside unto vain jangling. They desire to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they're saying, and they don't know what they're saying means. And I think that's even worse. Sometimes they don't even know what they're saying means. These men who teach the traditions of men as they are, as if they were the commandment of God, are exactly the same. They teach. It's vain jangling. It's empty talk. The traditions of men are empty. Period. They talk, but there's nothing there. They'll talk, but there's no life there. There's no bread there. There's no food there. They talk, but it's empty of Jesus Christ and His work and His truth and His life. They talk, but it's empty of value. Christ gives them the example. They talked of dishonoring their mothers and fathers, but you better wash your hands before you eat, or you'll be unclean. These Pharisees and scribes, spoken of right here, that Christ talked to, spoke against the commandments of God. And I got to thinking about that. And after I looked at 1 Timothy 1 and 6, where it says, having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, the verse right before that, 1 Timothy 1 and 5, says this, now the end of the commandment is charity, love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. The end of the commandment is love. Nothing more, nothing less. That's okay, because that's actually more than I can handle. But I thought about, where did Paul get this? Because the common thought of the commandments, all right, they tell us what we're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to covet. You're not supposed to commit adultery. You're not supposed to lie, bear false witness. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. That's the common theme that you will hear from most people around you and from pulpits everywhere of what the Ten Commandments is about. Paul says the end of the commandment is love. Not thou shalt not. The end of the commandment is love. I mean, it's sort of, you're not supposed to do things. But that's not the point. The commandments from God are all about love, or to be honest, in our case, our lack of it. Because Paul knew what Christ taught. The Apostle Paul knew Christ, and he knew, well, right here it says, verse 9, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Full well. I looked that up. That word, those two words, full well, are translated from one Greek word. And here's what that word means. Beautifully. Finely. Excellently. Rightly. So that there shall be no room for blame. Truly. Excellently. Nobly. Commendably. Honorably. These Pharisees and scribes beautifully, excellently, rightly, and honorably rejected the commandment of God. That's something we can be perfect at. Rebellion against God. That's the only thing man's good at. Those are the words of Christ. I thought, my gosh, the Greeks had a word for it. That's the saying. And evidently they did. Beautifully, you have rejected the commandments of God. Now, I don't know if this is actually, you know, I mean, the way I would say this by reading it is more of a form of sarcasm. I don't know that Christ did that, but I'm sure it was considered insulting. Honorably, you have rejected the commandment of God. They didn't understand the commandments. Like Paul said, the end of the commandment is love. They honorably rejected the commandment. That's sin. The end of the commandment of love is love. Excuse me. Now, where'd Paul get that? Let's, if you would, turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. And Jesus answered him. Now, this is he's answering a scribe that asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And this scribe gets a treat at the end there. Because this scribe thought Jesus Christ had answered some prior questions very well. So he asked him something else. And Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And to love him, And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, this scribe, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. That scribe knew a lot more than these other scribes with the Pharisees from Jerusalem. He understood at least a little bit the commandment of God. Jesus Christ had just taken 10 commandments and condensed them down into 2. How come they don't post that in the courthouse or in schools? Or anybody get upset? 2 commandments are easier to remember than 10. They should be posted in churches. They don't understand this is the same thing. These 2 commandments are the same thing as those 10 that Moses got. Christ said so. There is none other commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What did Paul write? The end of the commandment is love. Charity. The end of the commandment is love. The end of the traditions of men is condemnation. From men, even. I don't think it's any wonder Christ was a little upset with these fellows. No wonder he called them hypocrites, because they were hypocrites. They missed the point of the commandment of God. The commandment of God is singular, love. Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will not have time for sin or the inclination. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will not lie, you will not blaspheme, and you will not teach the traditions of men. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will know love. And if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will love your neighbor as yourself. I wish you could. I wish you could. I still remember what Henry Mahan said about these 2 commandments. He says, if you can get past the first one, we'll talk about the second one. Because I can't love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Christ could. Christ did. And Christ does. But the end of the commandment is love. I want to love my neighbor as myself. I do not want to steal or kill or lie or commit adultery or covet or bear false witness. I want to honor my father and mother. I want to honor the Sabbath day. But I know this fact, I cannot love my neighbor as myself until I love God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. These Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem did not want to love God. That's why they rejected his commandment. And that's why they stick to their traditions. Because the traditions of men are not about the love of God. They thought they kept the commandments. They thought they kept them. There's a reason the Bible states that God is love. And that's because God is love. And Christ, our Lord, our Savior, perfectly fulfilled the commandments and became the perfect sacrifice for sin because he did perfectly love God with all his heart, all his mind, all his strength, all his soul. And he loved his neighbor as himself. That he gave himself for his neighbor, for his people. The end of the commandment is love. All of the traditions of men are don't eat without washing your hands. We'll go in maybe a little bit more on that next week. There's a lot of don't do's. And Christ gets into what their don't do's mean and the difference between what the Ten Commandments don't do. Because there are things we shouldn't do. There are. But sometimes it's the reason you do them.
Yeah.
That makes a little bit of difference. I don't have to worry, I'll leave you with this, I don't have to worry too much about defiling myself with things because it's too late. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again to be in this time, in this place, to try to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to try to learn to love you as we ought, as we want, as we should. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior, who did love you perfectly, who is the holy and just Savior of his people. Thank you for him, and in his name we ask.